Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood washed away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. You have come to that location on the internet once again where we talk about the real issues that men face on a daily basis. It's about being transparent, brutally honest, and biblically sound on our side here and offering both hope and help for men. It's about not having all the answers. It's about having the experience and sharing with other men that you are not alone in this world. And so often that's how we as men usually end up receiving things a little easier, knowing that, hey, I thought I was the only one that ever felt that way. I thought I was the only one that ever done that. I thought I was the only one, blah, 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 and on and on and on. Well, here in the studio to help me deal with the topic of dealing with patience. I guess that'd be a good thing. Dealing with patience, or just patience itself, what that looks like. I have the patient master in front of me right here. Well, not really. None of us are a master at this. We do a lot of things, but none of us are a master at it. But anyway, I got Joel in the studio with me today. Good to have you, bro.
It's good to be here.
All right. So you brought up patience because we've all I don't think there are too many guys that have never had challenges with this. It seems like it's something that we're always having to deal with to a certain degree, right? And the Bible talks about it pretty clearly about patience and how important it is. And yet, it's just one of those things that we just continue to try to have. And in some cases, we actually forget about even striving for it. It can. So what stirred your mind into this thing about patience besides me pressuring you, saying, hey, what is it? Anyway, you need to.
Well, you know, so the other day you told me to think about how Jesus has been working in my life, how
yes.
He's changed me since I've turned my life over to Him.
Yes.
And the very first thing that came to my mind was patience. I mean, I was not a patient person growing up. You know, we could start with the definition of patience.
That'd be good.
And it's the definition of it is bearing provocation, annoyance, misfortune, delay, hardship, pain, etc., with fortitude and calm, and without complaint, anger, irritation, or the like. Another one they have for it is quietly and steadily persevering. Now, here's an important one. An ability or willingness to suppress relentlessness or annoyance when confronted with delay. That's the definition of patience.
Suppress
it. To suppress that anger or that annoyance. You know, just, okay, I'm just going to be calm and patient here. I was never like that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Christmas. Christmas was one of the best times of the year for me. But it was also when I was the least patient. I mean, you see those presents building up under the tree. You got to sneak out there in the middle of the night, take a knife, and at the seams just carefully cut open that tape.
Wait a minute. You're 5, 6 years old and you're getting a knife out to cut it nice and...
Well, I was like 9 or 10.
Oh, 9 or 10.
Yeah,
okay.
It's cool by then.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, cut those seams open, you know, pull that present out. Oh, I got it. Put that present back in, try and put the tape exactly over the old pieces of tape. You know, but that wasn't enough for me. Then I'm sitting there and, oh, now I know I got that. Now I want to play with it now, you know. And it's been like that all growing up. You know, I know something's good coming, or I think something's good coming, or I want something good to come, but I can't wait for it. You know, I want it now. I want it now. I want it now. You know, hurry up and wait has been one of the hardest things for me. When the Lord just says, you just got to wait. You know, I got something good for you, but you just got to wait. And I've been a little bit more patient recently. Driving is a great example. You know, I've always cut people off when I drive, because I got to hurry up and get to where I want to go, only to be there, what, 30 seconds earlier.
Yes.
It's not a good thing, and it can be dangerous. A great example is if you speed up and then you get caught at the next red light anyway, so then you have to slow down really fast. You're putting all this wear on your car. And that's kind of what we do to our own bodies and our own minds when we're not patient. You know, but the Lord started to work in me. He started to create in me a patient spirit. You know, patience is one of the fruits of the Spirit. And so he started to develop that in me.
So what's the difference in, what do you think is the difference between patience and tolerance?
You know, they can go hand in hand. You know, you can tolerate belligerent coworker, you know, by being patient with them, showing them a little bit of grace. But there is an extent to it, you know, when we're called to act out of righteousness. But in patience, we need to seek the Lord for what the proper response should be.
But there are people who actually don't know the Lord that actually are very patient people.
Are they patient or are they just
tolerant?
Well,
I don't know. I've met a lot of people who don't know the Lord that actually have some qualities about their life. I may not necessarily agree with it to any certain degree, but other than the fact that I don't think it's a requirement of being able to have patience. Here, because we are believers, we talk about it because the Bible is explicitly clear about it, that we are to have patience. Here's a thing that on tolerance that I was just looking up. To tolerate, okay, as a verb, this is what it means. Allow the existence, occurrence, or practice of something that one does not necessarily like or agree with, without interference. So in other words, you're going through something, but you don't interfere with it, okay? Whereas in some cases, you and I both know this because we're like-minded in this sort of thing. If we disagree with something, we may not say something, but we give off the vibes, do we not?
Oh, we do.
I mean, or the look, right? Yeah. Or the posture, whatever that may be, whether it be at home with family or at work or even driving down the road. My wife, she says one of these, she says, I keep praying for you. And she does because it changes little by slow, okay, when it comes to this sort of thing. It's like a guy gets behind a car. And I shouldn't say every guy. I do, okay? You start that thing up, it's like starting the race. Start your engines, right?
Blood starts pumping.
Yes,
you're in the mindset.
And all of a sudden, you're sitting there, I've already got my map already drawn out in my head of how to get there, the easiest, safest, quickest way, in a sense, most effective way, I should say. Then I have a plan B, and in some cases, even a plan C, all right, depending on the weather and all of this sort of thing. And I know I'm not alone thinking like that. And if someone gets in front of me and is kind of like, hey, I didn't plan on this, you know, then I'll do whatever is necessary within the law. I want to make it clear that I'm not sitting here raising like a crazy man.
Not anymore.
Yeah. Okay, yes. And but the point being is that I tolerate it, okay, some of these people, okay, without interference, okay, without even giving them the look, without saying or doing anything verbally in my own head or whatever, you know. And but anyway, my point being is that I think there's a difference between the tolerance and the true patience, because I think the patience comes. Do you have that definition there?
Yeah.
Read that again.
Bearing provocation, annoyance, misfortune, delay, hardship, pain, or etc., with fortitude and calm and without complaint, anger, irritation, or the like.
Yeah. See, that's where the difference between tolerance and the patience is. Because I can still have the anger and all this other stuff at the end there, that provocation and everything, that I can still have that and tolerate something. Okay? But in true patience, I'm really accepting this situation or this individual exactly the way they are. I'm looking at them the way that Jesus looks at them and looks at me, right?
Yeah.
I so often have to think about that sort of thing. And that's really what this comes down to, is looking and being Jesus in the flesh, down here, right?
Yeah. And in doing so, you don't put that stress and that wear on your body.
Yes.
You know, because you can be tolerant, but you can still be grumbling in, you know, in your car. You can be grumbling to yourself. What does that do to your mood? And how does that affect the rest of your day?
Right.
Does that put a wear on you? Whereas being patient, you know, in your spirit, truly being patient, you're going to be at peace with the situation.
Well, you know, so often we look at patience, or we don't look at patience, I should say, so as something that is vital to our living on this world in a godly manner, in a holy manner. I mean, we're called to be holy, right?
We are.
We're called to be perfect because He is, all right? And so we're to strive to be like that. And as a result of that, when we are attempting to be that way, it's not so that we would look better, that people would look at us and say, oh, you've got it all together. I'm going to come ask you questions and so on and so forth. It's about being able to live within our own skin comfortably, okay? But here's one of the crazy things, not crazy things, but I've got something here that says, when everything is going our way, patience is easy to demonstrate. Is it not?
It is.
I mean, as a controller, I mean, I sit there when everything goes, when everything's going the way that I'd like it to go, I'm driving down the road, there's no cars in front of me, no cars behind me. It's like, okay, this is a perfect world, right? But it doesn't take long before that gets disrupted. But patience is easy to demonstrate when everything's going your way, okay? And so it's when the fire storm comes on, or the rock out of left field, or something you didn't see coming shows up, and then all of a sudden, whoa! Now we see what the true character of that our in who we are really is.
We do, and you know, we think it's righteous, and we're justified in our response to some of these people, mm-hmm. some of the ways they act. You know, I didn't get that promotion at work, even though I'm the harder worker. You know, that other guy got it, and he lied to get the job.
Yes.
You know, and so we justify it. But one of the things we have to remember is we're not here to serve men. I mean, we're here to serve each other, but we are here to serve the Lord. You know, in Psalm 37, verses 7 and through 9, it says, "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him.
Mm-hmm.
Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil. For the evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land." And so it's telling us not to fret when someone cuts you off in traffic, because mm-hmm. you're not driving for that person.
Right.
You know, you're driving for the Lord. So you need to seek the Lord. And do not fret, because it leads to evil. It's also telling us that if we're going to sit there and fret and be anxious about this, frustrated about this, it's going to lead to evil, mm-hmm. when patience is required in our walk with Christ.
What usually ends up taking place is that our anxiety increases, our fear increases, our desire to control even more increases, right? Which all of a sudden now your blood pressure increases, okay? And now it begins to bother you physically, okay? And when you have all of this pressure that's taking place, now you're having to make decisions. You want to know why there's so many accidents out there sometimes? Because we're actually got so much going on in our head that we're really, sure, we may be looking, but we're not really focused on what we're doing and what's going on around us. And now we're using driving as an example, which is we all drive, the majority of us do or have at one time
yes.
or another. So we can relate with that. But the same thing goes with whether we're in a relationship with a coworker, okay, a guy that keeps coming up and he's a nice guy, but he's an annoyance, you know, his timing of coming up and asking me something, or why is he always asking me and doesn't see that I'm busy or interrupts when I'm talking with somebody else or doing something. So often we try to change that individual, right? But so often we have to remember the real change needs to take place in ourselves. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and in verse 14 it says, "And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. I mean, okay, you know, that's one thing about the Word of God. It cuts between anything that's like my own stubbornness and desire to have something a certain way, right? His Word will come in and cut so finely in between there to say, hey, listen, can you see what it is that you're doing or what you're not doing? I don't want you to be like you used to be. You're a new creation in me, okay? Now, of course, I'm just kind of yes. just ad-libbing what the Lord is saying in my own head. And so he's saying, hey, here's what I urge you to do. Come on, set this stuff aside. Admonish the idle, right? Encourage the faint-hearted. Help the weak. And be patient with them all. Now, I thought, as a controller, that I look at this and I'm going, oh, man, yeah, that's a great way of being able to control people, to admonish them, the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, and help the weak. Man, I'll have a good team, got a lot of people on my side. And that's where all of a sudden, you know, again, the Lord, and he goes on, and it finishes up, and if you read the rest of 1 Thessalonians 5, yeah, he kind of lets you know that, hey, that's not the way to go in that.
It is true. You know, we think helping the weak is like, let me help you do your job better by telling you exactly what you need to do right now.
Right.
You know, so we're trying to control the situation when the Lord wants us to just be patient.
Yeah.
He wants us to set the example.
So in what you read earlier, just a few minutes ago here in
Psalms,
Psalm 37, I think it was.
Yes. To be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him, you mm-hmm. know, because...
Let's talk about that when we come back from this break, because I think that is so key about what does that look like, okay? So we'll be right back. We're going to be talking about Psalm 37, about waiting in and for the Lord. What does that look like in our life? We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Be all that God designed you to be. Band of Brothers Radio reminds you to check the For Men Only tab at faithplace.org for daily tips on becoming better husbands and fathers.
Looking for another option for your internet service? Need a more reliable, high-speed internet? StarTouch is the premier provider of wireless broadband to businesses, government entities, schools, and residential customers in the Pacific Northwest. In fact, the talk show ministry you're listening to right now uses StarTouch as our internet provider. Experience the StarTouch difference. Get a free quote by visiting StarTouch.com.
But I'm not defined by mistakes that I've made, because God says I'm me. I am not who I was, being remade. I am new. I'm chosen and holy, and I'm dearly loved. I am new. I am new.
Welcome back to the Band of Brothers Radio. Joel and Raul in the house, and we're actually talking about patience here. And a big part of what this is all about is the simple fact that this is something we can all relate with to a certain degree. And Joel had mentioned twice within the last segment here on Psalm 37, where it says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. And that's something that's real important, because we sit there sometimes and we judge ourselves with what others are doing. We judge them, sitting there going, look at that. You know, this guy's not very patient. Look at all the stuff he's got. You know, he forces things to get things done, and he gets this and that and so on and so forth. Well, you know, we have to sit back and the Lord reminds us through his word not to judge. First off, we don't know the whole story, okay? Which should be enough right there to say, hey, listen, don't judge by what you see. What you're doing is envy, okay? You see what he's got, and you want what he has, and I guess you're thinking the only way you can get it is acting and being the same way that person is. And that is not true. And but the fact is that we still rely on our desires of what the world believes we should have, or how we would be happy, or what would make us happy, when truly what the Lord wants us to do is maybe completely different than what the world is saying. In most cases, that's usually the way it falls, right?
Yes. You know, we see these unbelievers, or we assume unbelievers in their lives, doing things, lying, cheating, stealing, everything they have.
Well, let's hold right there for a moment. They're not just unbelievers, let me tell you, because it's happened with believers, too.
It's happened with believers, too.
So we'll just say other people.
Other people, yes.
And
not walking with Christ
yes.
in the moment.
Well, you know, a big part of it is, you know, once again, is carrying this or putting this sign or
facade,
well, yeah, of who people are, who we think we are, and who we think we want other people to see who we are. When it should matter what others say that we are, as long as we know in our heart that we're attempting to do God's will. And those people that you see, you know, with a calm attitude, that have patience, that have the fruit of the Spirit, okay? And you see that and you go, okay, this is someone that I might be able to relate with, okay? I'm not as, you know, I don't feel like I'm as good as they seem to be, you know, in a sense, or as experienced at doing what they do, you know, yet that's somebody. But then you have this individual, we've all seen them, you and I have both had relationships with people like this, where you see them, they've got a lot of things. They have own a lot of things that are physical in the world, right? And
cars, money, houses.
Yes, vacations, whatever. And yet they're always never seem to be really happy unless they're getting what they so desire.
And then even when they get what they desire, it only satisfies for so long.
But that's only because we can relate with that part, because even when we desire something, it may not be a big car. It might be a brand new lawnmower, right? And all of a sudden you get it and it's like, oh, I wish I'd gotten a riding lawnmower or whatever, right? It's always the next. It's never enough.
Wish I'd got the bigger one. I'd have the job done quicker. Yeah.
So back to this Psalm 37 in the first segment here in section of A, rather, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. So a lot of times we just think that means that we don't do anything. We just sit and wait for the Lord to pick us up and put us in front of what it is we need to do and get moving, right?
Yes.
I mean, that's what we think. We think, okay, that's maybe what we ought to do, but that doesn't feel quite right. And yet in some cases, it might justify our non-behavior or our slothful attitude toward life, right?
Yes, but, you know, it's an act of patience is what we're called to have, an act of patience, because we're called to seek the Lord, to seek first his kingdom, his righteousness. All these things will be added to you. That doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get that fast car.
Right.
But we do have to remember, you know, and all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and been called according to his purpose.
Right, right.
And so we see what they have. We see what we don't have. We're told to be patient and wait. We're told to seek the Lord. But we might not get. But maybe there's a reason for this having to be patient. Maybe there's a reason for this situation. There's something that we need to learn in this situation. We need to learn more patience. Or maybe perhaps there's something else we need to learn in this situation.
You know, in some cases here, and I'm going to just mention, I think we've got it here. Let's see. If we, Hebrews 12:1. Let's see. Let's go there real quick. And I just, there's a part of me that I just going, okay. And it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Okay? Now, in New King James, do you have New King James on that one by any chance? And the reason I'm going there is because it actually mentions the fact that it talks about, do you have it?
So New King James says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us.
Okay. So That New King James?
That's New King James.
Huh. Okay. Well, the fact is that it's talking about that in patience, that the word translated in this verse, but I'm sitting here going, okay, wait a minute. It means endurance, okay? So a Christian runs away the race patiently, right, by persevering through difficulties.
There's that active patience.
Yes, of actually continuing on and just knowing that the Lord's will is going to be done, as long as what I am doing is what I believe the Lord's will is. In other words, trying to accomplish the task, having all of these fruit of the Spirit with me, okay, in a certain sense. And in doing so, that we're able to endure trials and be able to wait for that promise to be fulfilled that the Lord has said that this is what we will get, right?
Yeah, and so that's where that active patience comes in. We're called to seek the Lord in all things and through all things because we know that all things work together for good. But so often it's so easy in the flesh to see what we don't have and to desire it,
mm-hmm.
you know, and to be led by those desires into what ensnares us,
right.
into what leads us astray, you know, hoping for something better because we don't want to hurry up and wait. We want our results now.
Well, so often we want to be able to, we're in a society where instant gratification is the norm, right?
Yes.
I mean, to simplify it, we go to a pop machine and we have our dollar and we want our pop. You put the dollar bill in and you push the button of the pop that you want and nothing happens, right? Or it says it's out. You're going, serious? Oh, there's another button that says the same product, right? And the same whatever. I hit the button and nothing happens. Now I don't even hear the thing working. So I start to look around to see who's looking at me doing this sort of thing. And I start to maybe grab the machine on both sides.
Shake it.
Shake it just a little bit. It just needs a little love just to remind, hey, you got my dollar and I want my pop, right? And, of course, when nothing happens and then all of a sudden you hit I want my money back type of thing and still nothing happens. Now maybe you start to get a little self-justification here of being able to shake this thing a little bit more and kind of back and forth a certain way with a little more emphasis.
When all you have to do is be patient and look and see, there's a 1-800 number you can call to get your money back.
Or I could actually walk over to the store that this is in front of and say, there's something wrong with this machine out here. But see, I don't want to be bothered. That's time I don't have for this sort of thing, and I shouldn't have had to, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
You know, and a vending machine is like a great example. Because if you purchase a soda from that vending machine, it might cost you $1.75. Whereas if you walked into the store, it might cost you 50 cents less. See, there is a price to be paid, an extra price for that convenience,
yes.
for that lack of patience.
Yes.
And it's the same thing in our lives.
Yes.
There is a price to be paid
yes.
for that lack of patience, for that instant gratification.
Yep.
The question is, do we want to pay that price?
Yes, yes. And that's where we sit back and just go, okay, maybe not. But in some cases, if you really desire something, you're willing to do whatever's necessary, right?
Until that price comes. until that bill comes due, and then you're regretting it.
Yes.
There's where that hindsight becomes 20/20.
Oh, gosh. But it's always 20/20, right?
Always.
And in the book of James here, I want to just go James 5:10, I think it is. He says here, and I'll go on verse 9. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. Verse 10 here. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast, who have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. Now, in these verses, a name comes up that I sit there and I go, yes, but I'm not like him.
Job.
That's it. Because if we know the story, we sat there and said, I have no room to complain about my life, right?
Yeah, Job was a godly man, sought the man every morning, even made, you know, reparations for sacrifices, repentance for his children in case they might have sinned that day.
Right.
And yet what came upon him? Disaster, you know, ruin, bad health, you know, friends who wouldn't support him in that situation. And yet he was a patient man.
Yes.
He waited on the Lord. You could see it in almost every chapter where he just wanted to see the Lord. He wanted to be before the Lord, to make his case before the Lord, but always before the Lord.
So just before that, in verse 7 and 8, he says, this is James speaking, be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it, until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. So that's a great example. As a farmer, and if you've ever grown anything, you know that you have to wait for that to get enough nourishment, whether it be from watering or the minerals that you give it, the sunshine that comes out, you know, the hoping that there's no bird or something that's going to eat it or take it away or whatever. And as a result of that, in your patience of taking care of that sort of thing, you're going to be able to enjoy, and maybe others that you care for are going to be able to enjoy the fruit of the labor, so to speak, right?
Yes.
But it can't happen overnight.
No,
you can't sit there and you plant your, you know, your watermelon or whatever. No, you have to wait. You're sitting there going, oh, look, there's a green thing. We should be eating something quick. No, there's not even a bud yet, you know? So those are the things, just as a farmer waits, that we have to do the same thing. We go about our business for the day. We don't sit there and watch, what do they say, a watched pot never boils, right? So, I mean, if you sat in front waiting for that thing to boil, you have it on high heat, you know, it just seems to take forever to boil. But if you put it on there and put the heat to it and go about your business doing some other tasks, then all of a sudden, before you know it, it's boiling.
It's ready to go.
Yeah, it's ready to go.
Drop your noodles in.
So really, there's something to that, that we want to be able to stay busy in the Lord and taking care of this other stuff before, or rather than just sitting and saying, okay, Lord, come on. No, he wants you to go about your business that you need, that you have at hand, right? Let's take a break. This will be our last break, and we'll come back, and we'll finish talking about the way that we wanted to talk about patience. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Men, don't fight your battle alone. Download our podcast to your iPod every day and take Band of Brothers Radio with you. We got your back covered.
When you need a lasting remembrance of a loved one, you can spend thousands of dollars on an engraved monument, benchmarker, keepsake urn, or flag case. Or you could get the exact same engraved monument at a far lower cost from Cascade Monuments. Right now, explore even bigger savings during Cascade Monuments' anniversary event. Cascade Monuments ships throughout the United States and Canada. Shop online at cascademonuments.com.
If you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, if you've been hearing the same old voice at the same old lies, if you're trying to fill the same old holes inside, there's a better life, there's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, a savior, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio. The waning moments, or the ending moments, of this talk show on patience. Do you have patience right now?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that because things are going your way?
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, yeah, I made it here safely.
Yes.
You know, I made it here on time. I have patience because I have to work soon, and I don't want to hurry up and be there.
Oh, I see it. I see. Okay. So when we get into anxiety and worry and fear, that sort of thing, actually, that does not help the patients, does it?
No, it does not. Okay. It does not. Some of those times you just want it to hurry up and be over with. I don't want to patiently go through this. I don't want to patiently wait to be there and then patiently wait for it to be over with. I just want it to be over with because it is not a good shift.
Right.
The hours suck for today. And I want it to be done and over with. I don't want to have to – I want to go through it quickly so it's done.
Well, so going into it with a certain attitude may be a little more conducive to how easily the day goes than not.
It does, because if I go into it with a grumbling attitude, this day is going to carry on.
Yeah.
And every little thing that comes is going to tip me. It's going to set me off.
Do you realize that the Lord knew that you would probably be going through this shift at this time before the world was created, and that there's probably going to be a relationship that or with a customer that you're going to have today at a time when you think that this is the period that it sucks to be here, right? May end up being instrumental in your life or maybe in the life of the other person.
It does.
You know?
Yeah, I have thought about that. I've thought about that every day I go to work. Because I get to talk to people mm-hmm. and help people,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so even on the bad days, even on the days where I'm not looking forward to the hours,
yes,
I get to remember that stuff.
Yes.
You know, and I get to have those moments with customers sometimes.
And we do this sometimes, especially when it may not be necessarily a thing that we want to do, taking responsibility for a commitment that you made. And that's what a job is. You made a commitment to go and to do something and say, yes, I will be here at this time. Yes, as a result of that, they'll pay me for my time for being there. Now, it doesn't mean that it's necessarily that I'd like to have more money for my time, but that's not the point. The point is you made a commitment to that sort of thing. And in doing so, especially if you enjoy what you're doing, you know that there's going to be some good things that take place, okay? And it's kind of like going into it saying, oh, man, I just don't feel like going to work today. But you know after you get there and after you get started and you get kind of locked in, right, you get into the groove and sitting there you take a walk around through the store or whatever and you kind of get a feel for what's going on, you're ready, right? And then when you're on, right? And then by the end of the day or maybe even by lunchtime, you're sitting there going, man, that was really a good first part. I didn't get everything done I wanted to, but it was like all of a sudden my attitude is different, right?
It is. And we could change that beforehand, before we even get to work, before we even walk out the door.
What are we changing?
Our attitude, our mindset.
So we have control over that.
We do. We have a lot of control over that. You know, and, you know, Paul tells us about that. In Philippians 4... starting in verse 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Now here's a very important verse, verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe going into it with the mindset that the Lord has given me a job today.
Yes.
Bills are coming due at the end of this month. The Lord has given me a means to take care of those mm-hmm. bills.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking about that and being thankful for that. Mm-hmm. I can ask the Lord, you know, Lord, can you give me a job with some better hours? Can you give me a job with some more money mm-hmm. so that maybe I could buy a different car except for the one that's, you know, constantly breaking down on me.
Mm-hmm.
But going into with the mindset of thank you, Lord, that I have this car and I
right.
don't have to take the bus.
Right.
Being thankful.
So there a sense of gratitude when we do that sort of thing. We just sit there and say, okay, we get opportunity to look at things differently. And that's really what it comes down to. You know, in 2 Corinthians 5, it always reminds us, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed. Behold, the new has come. And all of this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So he's given us opportunity to be useful, to be able to heal situations, okay? Even within ourselves and with those that around us, okay? Of knowing that we're a new creation, that we aren't to look like the rest of the crowd. We have to look different. It doesn't mean that we're going to sit there and preach and pray for everybody that we see in the middle of our work day in the office or in the store where we're working, whatever it is. But it's about being the hands and feet of Jesus Christ in everything that we do, right?
Yes, and we can preach and pray for those. We can pray as we walk in our minds or verbally if we want. The Lord's with us, and we can preach by our actions and by our attitudes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have this attitude a lot of times at work that I'm happy to be there. I'm happy I have a job. People ask me, really? Are you serious? You're happy to be here? And I let them know, I was out of work with an injury for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
I am thankful to come to work every day. And people look at it and they're like, wow, I never thought about it like that.
Yes.
And so it's that attitude. And that's not me. I'm not boasting about myself. Mm-hmm. That's the Lord.
Amen.
That's the Lord Jesus, because mm-hmm. I came from having a really good job that I was not thankful for,
mm-hmm.
and that was me.
And so often when we have that type of attitude, it's contagious in a sense. So we're all of a sudden somebody, you know, you actually encourage somebody else. Now, that isn't necessarily an open door to be able to all of a sudden start doing things that you're not paid to do at work, because you're paid to be able to take care of the task at hand that they hired you for, okay? Now, you may think, what are you saying, Raul? You're actually saying you can't evangelize at work? No, I'm not saying that. The fact is that we need to submit to the authorities. Our authority is whoever it is that's paying us for the job to get done, okay? Now, by me doing things that aren't what they've required me to do during the time I'm working, in a sense, means that I've got to be, you know, I better accomplish the task at hand if I'm going to be talking at the same time. But it's so difficult. I don't think the Lord wants, I think he wants us to be as focused on him in everything as we are when we are doing our work, period, right? The Lord wants us to be able to give everything that we are to others, okay? That we are to comfort others, okay? And in doing so, it doesn't mean that we have to sit there and just say, well, now, if you were a believer, if you came to my church, or if you believed in Jesus, all of a sudden now you can actually be able to do these same things that I'm doing. No, that's not what it's about. Once again, it's about being able to show what it is that the Lord's doing through you.
Yes, and there's where that active patience, that endurance comes in. By taking these actions and these steps to patiently endure this shift, to patiently endure maybe a belligerent customer who's putting you down while another coworker's watching and seeing how you're going to respond to it.
Yes.
There's that patience. And you don't need to be preaching with the Bible in your hand. You can live it out. You can walk like Jesus walked.
Yes.
You can do what he does, always remembering and always keeping in mind Jesus.
You know, I remember being told one time, when someone said, I said, you know, I need prayer for patience. They said, I don't know if I want to pray for patience for you, because then you're going to have opportunities to practice it. And I never thought about that. But in a certain sense, what it comes down to, if I'm going to ask the Lord for patience, okay, give me more patience, I am going to be tested in that area. You know, how's it coming here? How is this? Are you able to be patient in this arena? Now, that doesn't mean that I don't ask for that. Maybe more often I can look at it this way, is that if nothing else, I actually say thank you for the patience that you give me, Lord. And that I pray that it increases as the day goes by, and that I become not so controlling and manipulating in all that I do. That I look at everybody and everything the way that you do, you know? Because if I see somebody that I can't be patient with, I think about how the Lord has looked at my life and how patient he has been with me, okay? And in doing so, can I not do that, pass on that same comfort that he's given me okay, to someone else. And in doing so, it makes it a lot easier for me to be able to accept and to be able to be there and encourage others the same way. So amazing how this works, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Well, that's a good topic, man. So you've come a long way, and still there's always more yet to do.
Long ways to go.
And we just one day at a time, right? The ODAT.
Oh, yes. One minute at a time.
There you go. How about you pray for our brothers who are listening?
Heavenly Father, I want to lift up to you the brothers, and I pray, Lord, that in the situations and the moments to come and the opportunities for patience, Lord, that you would bless them with a patient spirit to overcome the situations and be able to glorify you in all your glory in the name of your Son, Jesus. It's in his name I pray. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you, brother. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you shalom. Brother, there is hope, and you are not alone.